Okay, good evening. Tonight is the 7th of Adar. Tonight is the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's fitting that we didn't have class last week, and we were talking about Moshe and Purim and Netzach and all those things. I didn't quite finish the last sheets, but we're going to come back to it. Don't worry, we're not going to forget about it. But this topic is so relevant for tonight. And it's on the topic, it's just taking it in a different direction. So the title is called Vinahapachu of Purim and Netzach. What does Vinahapachu mean? So let's look at the first source. Towards the end of the Megillah, it says, you know, as opposed to Haman's plans of destroying the Jews, Vinahapachu. And Vinahapach, Lahafech, means to turn over, turn upside down. It was the exact opposite thing. And the Jews got their enemies in their power. Venahapachu. That's the song we sing. Venahapachu, Venahapachu. So what does that mean exactly, that things turned over? The simple meaning is Haman was on top, now he's on the bottom. Okay. Now, we've already quoted before. We'll quote it again. The Gemara in Tainus says, Kishem. Just like when the month of Av enters, we reduce Simcha. So when the month of Adar, rather, comes in, we increase Simcha. And Rashi explains why we're increasing days of miracles, Purim and Pesach. It's the connection of Purim into Pesach. There's days of miracles. Okay, a couple of interesting midrashim. I'm not sure if we mentioned it the last time or not. But we see what's going on over here is that the month of Adar, the Simcha grows. It's not just till Purim and it stops. It's the whole month. It just goes right into Nisan. And just continues. The excitement continues. So we're 7 days in, not like Av, that we're mamayik besimcha, but by Tisha B'Av already, it's not so bad. And by the 15th of Av, it's for sure much better. But here we just keep rolling. Let the good times roll. Now, there's two interesting midrashim about Haman and the lots that he drew. He was looking for the best time to kill the Jews, which month would work out the most. But all the months had auspicious times for the Jews. When he came to Adar, he was very happy, because on Adar he saw that Moshe passed away on the 7th of Adar. Great, Moshe's dead. He was so sure that he would be able to be victorious. However, the Medrash says he didn't know that Moshe was also born on the 7th, which made it good for the Jews. Now the question is, how does that make it good for the Jews? How does Moshe's birth make things better if he ultimately died on that day? Okay, he was born on that day. Amazing. But he died on that day. He's finished. Or we could rephrase the question. If the month as was. Okay, if the month was always... let's fix that up. If the month was always good because of Moshe's birth, so what's the Venahapachu? You know, the whole Venahapachu is on the whole month. The whole month is Venahapachu, not just the story. The whole month is Venahapachu. So, was it a good month or was it a bad month? If Moshe was born, it's a good month. What's Venahapachu? And what is the fact he was born, but really he died? So, what's going on? Yeah?
So, you died on Adar Sheni, right?
I don't care about Sheni Rish. I don't want to go into that now. We'll just say Adar for now. We'll just keep it simple. Now, another interesting thing, Adar is the constellation of the fish. Mm-hmm. So, now, Haman figures, oh, good, fish. Fish swallow up fish. So I'm going to swallow up the Jews. But he didn't see there's bigger fish and that he would get swallowed up himself. So what's the message over there? Now, as we've mentioned in the past, Moshe is central to our war with Amalek. As we saw with the first battle of Amalek, that Moshe was taking the Jews out to get the Torah, and Amalek wants to stop us. Moshe raises his hands, we're victorious in battle. Fascinating, we see there is a lot of connection with Moshe and Purim. We'll see, when we get to the other handout, we'll even see more. The Gemara Chulin asks for a number of sources in the Torah, and I'll look at the Hebrew, it works a lot shorter, the English is so long. The end of 9. Moshe min HaTorah min ayin. Where do you see a hint of Moshe in the Torah? And that's a pretty weird question. I mean, Moshe's front, left, center, all over the Torah. What does it mean, a hint of Moshe in the Torah? And it says, the Pasuk over there says, that it says, Bishagam hu basar. Okay, it talks about the Pasuk that what God's going to destroy the world with the flood. Bishagamu basar, therefore shall his days be 120 years. So 120 years is the same that Moshe lived, total of 120 years. So in other words, so where is there an allusion to Moshe before he's born? But then right afterwards, the Gemara then goes into where's the allusion to Haman, where's the allusion to Esther, where's the allusion to Mordechai? Well, I get, you know, Haman, Mordechai, Esther, they're all Purim. But Moshe's in the same category there. So why do they want to know anything about Moshe? Unless he's really integrally connected to Purim. Okay, so let's take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Romans like to give trouble and ask all kinds of philosophical questions of the Jews. So one of the Romans asked Rabbi Shua ben Hanani for two questions. Where do you Jews get this idea of there's going to be Trias HaMesim, revival of the dead? And the other question is, where is it derived that Hashem knows what's going to be in the future? So he gave them an answer to both questions from one pasuk. Let's take a look at the pasuk. The pasuk towards the end of the Torah, when Hashem says to Moshe, "Vayomer shel Moshe, hidcha shochev im avosecha, you are now going to lie with your fathers, you're going to die." Now the simple meaning of the pasuk is, "Vakom amazet, and this nation will get up, vizanat, and will stray after idols." Okay, but you could read it like this if you just change the punctuation. Hidcha shochev im avosecha, you will lie with your father, you'll die. Vakom, and then you'll get up, and you'll be resurrected. So that's how he learns both things, that he's going to get resurrected, and also he knows the future that they're going to sin. So it's fascinating. What are these two questions? We see these two ideas, Hashem knowing the future and the resurrection, are together in the context of Hashem speaking to Moshe. What is the message over here? So now we're going to start explaining on a couple levels over here, a fascinating idea. Going back to Derech Hashem, basic 101. Why is there death in the world? Now we know it's a result of first man's sin. So let's read what Derech Hashem has to say. I only brought the English. I didn't bring in the English, the Hebrew. So he talks about the sin of Adam, Arishon, and everything. He says, however, besides all this, his trait of strict judgment, may he be blessed, decreed that from now on, man and the world could not reach perfection so long as they are in a corrupted state. Meaning the form they have now in which evil grew. First man was initially a perfect combination of body and soul together. After the sin of eating from the Eitz HaDaas, two negative things happened. The body became corrupted, and the soul would no longer have the ability to illuminate directly into the body in such a way. So now that they're in this state, evil grows. Evil grows. So what does he do? So really Hashem would have just, you know, redo the whole world. Everything. The whole world was damaged greatly by the sin. So instead of having to undo the whole thing, so he decides, and the soul can no longer purify the body. So the only solution is death. Death is the solution. The body goes back into the ground. The soul goes into Shemayim. The soul is able to rejuvenate itself, is able to expand itself, unfettered by the body. And then, later on, when the soul will be reunited with the body will be in a more perfect form. And now the body and soul at the resurrection will be able to exist forever. And so to the whole world, after 6,000 years of creation, will be totally transformed, will be destroyed and repaired. So therefore, man has to die and then come back and live again. And this is the idea of Tchiyas HaMeisim. And the world, after 6,000 years, will be destroyed for 1,000 years, and then the world will be the brand new world of Olam Haba. Oh, we're having problems again with this. We were good for a while.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, boy, oh, boy. All right. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, you got it on your computer.
Yeah, no, I have
one. If you check on your phones. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to retool it. Anyway, what's the point? This is amazing. The point is death is the greatest vinahapohu. The opposite happened. Death is the sad outcome of the sin of Adam, yet it's the solution to the problem as well. Man, by Im Veitz Hadas, he made it that he could never be perfected anymore. Man did such damage by Im Veitz Hadas. So Hashem said, I got a solution. The solution is going to be death. And this explains why, after the sin, Hashem does not allow Adam to return to Gan Eden, because he didn't want to eat from the Eitz HaChaim. So what's the matter if he eats from the Eitz HaChaim? The answer is, if he eats from the tree of life and he'll never die, he'll never get fixed up.
Yeah.
What's it going to help? What's it going to help to live forever if you're not able to have the whole purpose of why God created man is to be dovuk to Hashem, to cling to Hashem? But after the sin of Eitz HaDas, man can never completely cling to God. The only way it's going to happen is, yeah, you'll eventually die, and everything gets repaired. The soul gets repaired, the body gets repaired, then you can completely cling to Hashem. So it comes out that death is not just, oh, it's terrible, but it's the only solution. How do you look at death? Oh, it's terrible. What's v'nahapachmon? It's the opposite. The exact opposite of what you think it is. Now, this explains a number of midrashim that say the same idea. For example, in the end of the sixth day of creation, it says, "Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa." Hashem saw everything he did. Vine tov mod, it's very good. And that's as the last day of creation, as it moves into Shabbos. There's a number of midrashim. Rabbi Meir had his own private Sefer Torah, not one that's kosher to read from, but had like his notes. And in his Sefer Torah, instead of the word Hinei Tov Ma'od, he writes Hinei Tov Mos. Death is good. Death is good. The Medrash quotes Rabbi Nachman in the name of Shmuel. He says, "And behold, it's very good," refers to the evil inclination. Could the evil inclination be good? Yes, for sure, because without the evil inclination, no one would build a house, no one would get married, no one would have a family, no one would work. If you go through the Medrash says the following. It says, Tov, good, is life. Very good is death. Good is Olam HaZeh. Very good is Olam Haba. Good is the Garden of Eden. Very good is Gehenna. Good is the Yetzer Tov. Very good is the Yetzer Hara. What's going on over here? Yetzer Hara is good. Gehenna is good. Death is good. But the answer is, death is the portal to be able to totally cling to Hashem. The fact that we now have a mortal state with a corrupted body, and Hashem created us. Oh, let's see, I got a bunch of typos, you're going to help me fix it up. Oh, it's not Sue, it's us, right? God created us for the ultimate dveikus Hashem, which is the greatest pleasure. That's what Hashem created us for. But after the sin, the body we have can't receive the full reward of doing the mitzvahs. The new body is going to be able to contain the full power of the neshama, because the new body is made from a better quality of matter that can fuse together with the neshama. So what do we see? That death really is rebirth. And there can be no immortality without death first. So death enables techiyas hamesim, the resurrection of the good. What? Yes. So now, you're right. Olam hazeh is good, but Olam haba is very good. But you can't get to Olam haba unless you die. Then the Medrash says, well, to earn your Olam haba, you're going to need to work. You don't get it for free. You need to work. The whole idea is by doing what Hashem tells you to do, and the effort you do to do what Hashem tells you to do, that's what gets you to cling to God. Okay. Now, if you want Olam haba, you got to deserve it. Because if God would give it to you for free, you'd feel bad. It's like you're ashamed of what he's giving you. So you got to earn it. How do you earn it? You got to face off against the Yetzer. You got to do good. You got to avoid evil. Without the evil, there's no work to do. You're unemployed. So as a result of the evil, guess what happens? You get a little bit dirty when you face the evil. Now, what does it mean? The Gemara says, what does it mean when it says, and you shall keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command you today to do? Hayom, so Gemara says, Hayom la'asosam, today is the time to do it, v'lo l'machar, not tomorrow, meaning in the next world. La'asosam hayom, hayom la'asosam, do them today, and l'machar l'kabelskram, and tomorrow you get the reward. The only time where you can earn your eternal reality is in this world, but it's in this world by earning it. Earning it means you got to work. And what kind of work is it? Working against the Yetzer. After the battle of Amalek, Hashem said, Vayomer, ki yod al kes ka milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. The battle with Amalek is from generation to generation throughout the ages. That's why we need Amalek. As long as there is a world, there's work to be done. And there's work to be done. There has to be somebody who represents the side of evil, which is Amalek. When the work ends, Amalek will no longer exist. And then Olam Haba can come. So Amalek is synonymous with Avodah. We got to work. We got to face the challenges. Now you got the Yetzer Hara. That's the spiritual battle, but it manifests itself in Amalek. Now, it's very fascinating. Lutzado, in another work, Das Funo, says there's two ways you can fight against evil that you work. One is what we'll call countermeasures directly against evil, which means the Yetzer tells you, don't get up to go to shul. You fight against, you get up and you go to shul. The Yetzer says, eat treif. And you fight against it, you don't eat treif. The Yetzer says, speak Lashon Hara, you don't speak Lashon Hara. He says, don't give tzedakah. You're fighting. He's giving you a force, and you counter that force. Now, what happens if you're in a situation that you're not able, there's nothing to counter against? Let's say you're very, very sick. You're bedridden. There ain't any averis for you to do. So what do? You're unemployed now? No. There's one other thing you could have. And that's bitachon. Bitachon is a form of work. Bitachon that everything comes of Hashem. And that you know that if you have problems, the evil comes because of our averis, and Hashem punishes us for this. And then bitachon is also a countermeasure that weakens sin. So if let's say you're not well, instead of complaining to Hashem, you say, I bitach Hashem, Hashem, whatever you do, you're doing is for the best. And it could very likely be that I've done certain averes I need to do tshuva for, and I trust you completely. So even though you may not be doing anything physically, bitachon is real work. Just like a mitzvah really is a powerful counterforce against evil, And mitzvahs means you have resources to do your mitzvahs. But sometimes you don't have any resources. So bitachon, sometimes the only thing you can do as the direct countermeasure. So what's this all leading us to? Point number one is we need to be grateful for the existence of evil, as it gives us the work to earn our existence. Right? If we're just born, we want to do everything right. That's not anything, no big deal. If we don't have that evil, we're unemployed and we have no way to get into Olam Haba. Yes, God created the world as good as Yetzer Tov, but really good as Yetzer Hara. Really good. Because now we have someone to fight against, someone to earn our reality about. Step number one. Now we go even deeper now. We're going to see there is a deficit Kabbalah now, and I can't explain all these ideas, but on a simple level, there is a definite physics as to how Olam Hazeh will metamorphosize and become Olam Haba. Now, we can't explain it, but it's definitely there's physics that's going to happen after 6,000 years of existence. There'll be 1,000 years of destruction and rebuilding that creates Olam Haba. Now, let's try to understand exactly what's happening over here. And this is a really, this is as they say, this is Torah for Purim, which means it's easy to say, it's harder to integrate it. So it's better after a few shots of scotch to be able to understand this. I mean, it makes sense, but it's just hard for us emotionally to accept it. But it's intellectually sound. So this is, you know, when your mind is bottled to Hashem, you can hear these ideas. So here's the point. In this world, there are definite things that we call evil in this world. Amalek is evil. Hitler was evil. Yimach Shemo. There are a lot of evil things in this world. And some of them were successful. Some of them we fought hard and we defeated. But this is what you got to understand. That's all in this world. When God's going to redo the world, all the evil that was in Olam Hazeh gets converted to good. It turns into good. The evil will get added on to the good. And that's how you're going to move from Tov to Tov Ma'od. And that's what that Medrash means. That Hashem's serving was Tov. So, Tov, okay. This world is good. There's some good thing. But Tov Mode's the next one. Life is good, death is better. What's the Medrash saying? The Medrash is saying the evil that existed and the fact we had to fight against it and struggle against it and succeed, that evil then, when we go to the next world, gets converted into the good side. And that makes the good even better. If there was no evil to contend with, let's say I was just doing mitzvahs and there's no Yetzer. So it's good. But now that God has created evil, it's trying to defeat us. And we have to fight against it. What's all that effort of fighting against accomplishing? It gets the evil to come onto the side of good. And the boundaries of good are expanded because the evil gets added onto it. Now, here's why it's so hard for us to understand this idea. Because in this world, there seems to be a clear conflict between good versus evil. Right? But in the next world, evil becomes very good. It's going to be added to the goodness as the good expands. It's not that the good just negates the evil. It annexes the evil. Not only has the evil been defeated, but now it's conquered. Now in this world, the good is at war with evil. But the war results in the evil being annexed to the good. That's what's happening. Now, here's another problem. Our perception of time creates a problem. We don't see the past, and we cannot see the future. We can't. All we can do is look at the present. At the present, we see some evil things. We see a coronavirus. We see a lot of evil things in this world. However, all the evil that we struggled with in the past, we will meet up with it again in Olam Haza, in Olam Haba, and it's going to all of a sudden be on the good side. And that's what Lutzado says in another work. He says, the eternal world of Hashem is all time together. By Hashem, past, present, and future are all at the same time. That Hashem always is aware of this. In this world, we are locked into the present. And we look at certain challenges we had in life. Look at certain evil. If we lost or we won to the evil, either way. We only remember the past evil as horrible. Why? Because that's how we experienced it. Now, this could be anything that was horrible in your life. You had a very bad sickness. That's bad. You had a very strong Yetzer that you had a fight with. You had a weak spot. He kept hitting you on that spot, hitting you on that spot. You kept struggling with that spot. We have evil empires. There's only one thing you could say about the Holocaust. He was bad. It was evil. Because that's how you experienced it. However, you got to know, that's not how it really is. Okay. That time in which we were victorious against the evil, if we handled it correctly, in the past, I wrote the twice, let's get rid of that. You know what's going to happen to any evil we dealt with successfully? It gets stored away. And later on, we'll see the evil being annexed as the good. Which really means, you go deeper, there's no such thing as evil does not have its own independent reality. Cannot be. Hashem is good. Hashem can only do what's good. Hashem's incapable of doing evil. So why do we call it evil? It appears, it affects us as evil. But ultimately, it's coming from a holy source. And we can avert it to be a really good thing. Let's give it a tough example. Let me just do two more points. I'll take your questions. I want to make sure I explain one more thing. Jews were in the Holocaust. Okay? They saw in front of themselves horrific things. Clearly evil. And you ask them, is this good? This is evil. It doesn't get much more evil than this. Now, the Jew kept his faith. Struggled. Kept his faith. Comes out of the Holocaust. Continues to observe mitzvahs. What's going to happen in the next world? Hashem's going to see every evil thing as part of the good. What he perceives as negative in the next world will have a positive perception. Because you know what? All those resources we used for the good. You'll see the Nazi boot that was on your throat. In the next world, you're going to see how good it was. It's that boot that you were suffering from, but you resisted, you stuck with your bitachon. You remain the good Jew. This makes you greater. So it's not like, oh, you know, the evil, I'm glad the evil's over. I don't want to ever see it again. You will see it again, but it's not going to be evil. It's going to be good. Yeah. Because it's a resource that strengthened your emunah, your bitachon. It forced you to have creative ways of baking matzahs in a concentration camp. You never would have had that kind of effort to do mitzvahs in your life. Yeah, you're living peacefully in Poland. You just went and baked matzahs. Okay, it's nice. But what about risking your life to make matzahs? Wouldn't you say that's a higher quality level mitzvah? And where did it come from? It came from the Nazi boot. Now, the problem is our perception in the present time is pretty bad. It's mistaken. But all those resources are destined to be added to the ultimate goal of good. Now, unfortunately, if we fail, well, then that becomes part of our Gehenna. And that itself of the Gehenna will ultimately clear things up as well. So here's the marshal we're going to use to explain it just a little better. Evil right now is really fake news.
That's a good one.
Just like when the news says all the lies, but everybody thinks it's true. But it's all fake news. So the Nazis were successful. They incurred a lot of suffering. They killed 6 million Jews. It's a hard idea to understand. It's fake news. People mistakenly followed them. Our job is to battle against the fake news and all the evil. It says in the high holiday services that all the evil will turn into smoke. And all those resources of evil that were used for evil, if the Jew is successful in overcoming, will be converted into the good. And the sin of Adam eating the Eitz Hadas, the forbidden fruit, that's what enables evil to create the false reality. And that's the same evil that Haman is using that power to try to defeat Mordechai. Okay, now here's the point of Vinahapachu. Vinahapachu, it turns over, explains how the evil gets incorporated into the good. Vinahapachu, that which we call evil, ultimately is our ticket to heaven. And that's what happened on Purim. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah, what's your question?
No, yes, acceleration, because I understand when Mashiach comes, Mechera Yameinu, right? Everything on the table, past, present, is going to be the same thing. It's going to be all
right.
But now you're telling me the bad is going to be good, which is agree with you, but it means that the event that happens in the past, in the future, which is in the same table, there is no time frame, right?
In the next world.
In the next world, it's nothing time.
Yes.
Right? So it's, the bad thing is not going to be there, it's going to be good. So everything is on the table. It's not only there is no...
It's all good.
Past and present, nothing. It's all good. But it's also be everything part of the same solid kind of stuff.
Yes. Exactly. Now, what holiday teaches us this? Purim. Purim is seeing the edge of destiny, where all the evil is the intermediary.
So we will celebrate when Mashiach comes, right?
Yes. That's also, we mentioned that's on the other sheets. Where all the evil is the intermediary to facilitate getting the world from good to very good. That's what Purim's about. For example, Esther seems to be captured by the evil king. That's bad. Yet it's from there that Esther is able to orchestrate the salvation. Had she not been in the palace, none of this would have happened.
There's no coincidence.
Not just no coincidence. That apparently evil thing was what saved the Jews.
Was good.
Happy for
right, that's what it says, Esther Minatar Minat. There's a time where Hashem will have Hester upon him. It looks like Hashem's not there. It looks like it's evil, but that evil is really what's going to make it great. The Lutzadu again in another place said, Esther represents the Shechina in Gauls. But even there, in Gauls, the Shechina is still in control. So here's the point. It's all one big loop. And we have to understand that reality, there's two ways of looking at existence. As a timeline or a time loop. Timeline starts here, ends here. Most people have that perception. In other words, let's say we're over here. We're over here in the year 5780. So what's our perception? Our glory years are behind us. Going out of Egypt, Sinai, First Temple, Second Temple, those are the glory years. They're behind us. The future, who knows? Who knows? That's a timeline. A time loop is easy to understand if you can accept the idea, like it says in Kabbalah Shabbos, Sof ma'aseh b'machshava techila. The end act was what Hashem had in mind the whole time. That Hashem knew the future even before He creates the world. Before He created the world. If you can understand that idea, that means there's always a destiny that we're heading to, which was always Hashem's plan from the beginning. Hashem always knows the future, and everything is meant to get us there. In other words, as we start here, you have a timeline, means we're starting here. I have no idea. I'd like to get a happy ending. I don't know what's going to happen. All kinds of things are going to happen. And I'm over here. That's all in the past.
So our friend owns the Behira also?
I'm sorry?
Hashem also owns, knows your Behira?
Sure.
So isn't he the only thing that you have?
No, that, okay, you're stumbling into a very complex Rambam. And the Rambam says, even though Hashem knows what's going on, it does not affect your Behira at all. That's a good discussion for another time. It's a good question, but we got to have to just let that put on the side for now, because we got to get this part done. But you got to understand, So timeline means, okay, we start here, oh, great opportunities, oh, we hope things, and then maybe some good things happen, and all of a sudden, boom, it's not so good. And now, who knows what the future's going to, I don't even know what's going to happen. The loop says that right at this point, God says there's going to be a perfected world. Sof maaseh, not this way. We're going right back to where we started from. We started. God started from, because remember, He's got past, present, future, all the same. He says the end is clear. That what? The whole world will recognize God. There's going to be Olam Haba. Now it's just a question of how exactly is that going to happen? But happening is for sure going to happen. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, Medrash, before the world was created, Hashem was alone. What's going to happen at the end of the world? V'niskav Hashem levado. Hashem again will be elevated alone beyond everybody else. That's what's in the loop and the line. Let me give Lahavdil a mashal, a very, very distant mashal from this. I don't want to even come, but it's a way to hear it. When Obama was the president, he said many, many times, he said, our best years in America are over. He said that. And I'm here to manage the decline. He said, you will never see 3% growth ever again. It's not possible. All because of climate change. And because of the Industrial Revolution, coal is out, the jobs are out. It's never going to happen again. We have to be a global community. America will never be a great country again. Trump said, what are you talking about? We could make America great again. And guess what? He did. Okay, because he knew there's certain ideas of capitalism that are meant, there's cycles. There are economic cycles. Downturns, upturns, but always come back. Now, I said, it's just a muscle. It's not exactly the same thing over here. But you got to realize, life is not a timeline. It's a loop. So let's start look at the biggest loops that you have. So we look at bad things. A lot of bad things have happened to the Jews. And every individual goes through apparently bad things in their lives. Death is the biggest example of this difference between timeline and time loop. Remember, we said before from Lozzaro, how can you be immortal? Only if you die. God created the world right from the beginning. Was what? Man was going to enjoy the closeness to God. That has to be. Has to be. That's the purpose of the world. And therefore it means man's going to have to earn it. And man's going to have to struggle. And Hashem knew before anything started that man's going to eat from the tree of knowledge. And then Hashem knows if he eats from the tree of knowledge, there's going to be things that God's going to do that's going to enable, notwithstanding man's stupidity, he is still going to achieve this perfection. And therefore God knew before he started anything that man would have to die. And what does death do? It brings you back to the beginning. What was the beginning? The beginning was God created man to give him the immense pleasure of connecting to Hashem. That was God's first thought, to bestow kindness to man. That was the first thought, and it's the last thought. And now what happens? You, man, did some stupid things. And now God says, oh, now you're going to have to earn it. And there are bad times happening. But here's the mistake. We think the bad times take us away from serving Hashem. But actually the bad times bring you back to where Hashem wanted you to be from the very beginning. And now, depending on the way you faced and overcame your challenges, those are precisely taking you to that destination for which the whole world was created. Okay? So, let's take a look. What's our greatest month of the year?
Nisan.
Nisan. Greatest month of the year. The whole world renews itself. Okay? Now, which month is the furthest away?
Adar Shini.
Well, Adar. Adar, just Adar. Right? And what happened in Adar? Moshe died. Don't get worse than that.
He was born at the same time.
That's what we mentioned before you came. Yeah, but he died. Mm-hmm. So this month, Adar, takes us the furthest away from you, the furthest away from the beginning.
Yeah.
But what happens at the end of Adar? You're back to Nisan. You're back to Nisan. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. Why? Because it's the loop. Adar takes you into Nisan. But Adar looked really bad. It was a really bad month. It's so far away. You're right. If it would be a timeline. If this is Nisan, this is Adar, we're in bad shape. Our best days are behind us. Right? Oh, yeah, you had a wonderful Seder last year. But, oh, look at all the failures you had for the last 11 months. What's going to be with me? My best days are behind me. Moshe Rabbeinu died. But what do we got? But wait a minute. Somehow, it's going to take you back to Nisan. Takes you right back to the beginning. You looped it right back to the beginning. The month that's the furthest away takes you back to the beginning. Now, Haman, Amalek, and all of them, they perceive reality as a timeline. They see it as a timeline. And that's why when Bilam describes Amalek, Reishis Goyim Amalek, Amalek is the first among the nations, but its end will be eternal destruction. Remember, we talked about on Shabbos, the law of entropy. Law of entropy means your best days are over. Brand new car, that's your best day. Once you get out of the lot, it's already $5,000 worth less. Just a matter of time till it gets destroyed. Everything is the law of entropy, we think. And Amalek thinks that all of creation works that way. It starts, and then it's over. Another mashal, global warming. Another lie, fake news. Global warming. The world is destroying itself. There's going to be no world left. Right? But the truth is, Amalek and this world, yes, will come to an end. Why? Because they're not the purpose of the creation. As opposed to the Jews, the Maral says beautiful. The word Yisrael, what's the end of the word? It's Kael. It means we end with God. When we end with God, that means we become eternal, just like Hashem. And the rest of the world isn't going to make it. Now, you see, the average non-Jew, he just wants to live his life. Amalek hates God. Now we put Moshe back into the puzzle now. Now, we looked at the Purim story. Okay? The Purim story, one thing was clear. We're finished. The whole UN has voted to annihilate Israel. All 127 nations. We're going to wipe out the Jews. That's it. It's the timeline. They had their time. They had their glory days. They had a good run, about 800 years. Good run from when they got out of Egypt was exactly 890 years. 890 years when they came out of Egypt. It was a good run. But the law of entropy, you're finished. And the evil is going to destroy you. Now, so if you're looking at it, a line, so let's say, okay, we start creation world. Okay, here's about Sinai, right? Here's first Beit HaMikdash, Churban. That's it. Achashverosh celebrates. That's it. You're finished. Goodbye. The line has ended. So what happens? Haman, who worked so hard to try to destroy the Jews, and Achashverosh, together with him, were working just as hard to destroy the Jews. And what happened? All that evil turns into a holiday. All that evil turns into the Jews at Sinai only accepted the Torah out of coercion. And all this evil that has us on the ropes and it looks like we're just about finished has us receive the Torah out of love. And all of a sudden, the Torah now is going to expand exponentially with the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Is now going to begin. A whole new exciting adventure of Torah. Torah is going to grow tenfold. On account of who? Haman. Haman. Now, who was the principal person over here? Mordechai, who was picking up Moshe's shoes, as it were. And that leads us to this Midah that we've been talking about, Netzach. And I recall 2 weeks ago we said, regarding the battle of Amalek, remember we quoted Shmuel Hanavi said, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. The eternal one of Israel doesn't lie, doesn't change his mind. So we see now what happened is that the Jews literally were revitalized. So now let's go back to that source at Gemara where the Romans asked, well, where do you see in the Torah that the dead come back to life? And where do you see that God knows the future? You begin to see now that's one and the same thing. They quote a pasuk, what Hashem said to Moshe. What Hashem said to Moshe. Moshe is Netzach. That message, God's foreknowledge, together with Moshe's Netzach, shows that the final destination was Hashem's first thought. And what is death? Death is rebirth. That's rebirth. That is destiny. That is the destination. So Moshe, who represents Netzach, eternality. What is eternality? When you're able to look at things in a loop, not in a line. That's the key to the process. That's why Moshe is so, as we said, if you remember a few weeks ago, we said, Pesach Shavuot Sukkot Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Moshe Aaron Purim Hanukkah. Moshe's Netzach. Now, what's the biggest question of evil? The biggest question is death. Right? But really, what is death? It's the real answer for rebirth. Is there a bigger v'nahapachu? The opposite? Now, the truth is, the Jews really always believed this, but it fell back in their distant, recessed memory. On Purim, that truth was revealed, and then it became part of our reality. And it created an energy within reality that we can draw strength from every year, this time of year. So the timeline thinking looks at the more current event. Okay, let's look. Moshe died. Okay, that's it. It's finished. That's the timeline. He's never coming back again. He's finished. The fish swallowed up the fish. That's it. But the loop line revealed the nature of Adar. Adar really, for a long time, was perceived as our worst month. Because that's the month that Moshe died. And when he died, it was a great descent in a lot of things. But now what happened? And really, we said Kabbalistically that month is one of Esau's months. And somehow that worst month became the best month. Why? Because it all facilitated us to get back to the beginning, and that makes everything very good. Very good. So that's how you're seeing over here, v'nahapachu, that we're looking at the worst possible thing is mamish converted into good. Now it's fascinating, the month of Av, which should have been our best month. If you recall, many months ago, we talked about the months. And we said the Jews came out of Egypt in Nisan, developed it further in Iyar, Sivan, we got the Torah, Tammuz, where mamish, 40 days, was going to come down, it's going to be amazing, we're going to build the base of Mingdash and Av, all of a sudden, golden calf. All of a sudden, we messed up. It's amazing, you know. Nisan is called Chodesh Ha'aviv. Now, usually, if you have a word and you add something to it with a suffix, it makes it smaller.
What do you mean smaller?
It makes it a smaller thing. In Hebrew, when you add a little bit of a suffix to it, it sometimes makes things smaller. But, so really, Aviv means a small Av.
Yeah.
It's a small Av. It's Av is daddy.
Yeah, Av.
Aviv is a little daddy.
Katanchik.
Yeah. Katantan.
Katanchik.
Yeah. So now, really, which should be the bigger one? Av. Mm-hmm. Av is Av. Aviv is like little daddy. But what happened? So just like when Av comes, we reduce our simcha because Av was destined to be the great month. Now what's happened to it? Well, right now it appears to be not such a good month. Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. The Chodesh Aviv, which is the little Av, okay? But now we come to Adar. So even though we sinned in Av and we reversed the nature of the month through our bad actions, and that's where we failed. But in the month of Adar, where we overcame the evil through our good behavior, now it becomes the best month. Right? And until we did the tshuva in the Purim story, we thought that Moshe's death permanently affected our ability to defeat Amalek. We could beat Amalek when Moshe was alive. When he was alive, we defeated Amalek. But now that he's not around, remember, Moshe is the man of Netzach. Now we can't beat them anymore. And now we're shown, and that means that he died. We can no longer do this anymore. What was now revealed is that Moshe's death was really another rebirth. It's not just it's the same day he was born, but the day that he was born meant was that from that day already he was supposed to be forever. The day he was born. It's not that the day he was born is here, and the day he's died is there, and that's the end of the story. But really, the day he dies is the day he's reborn. Because now in Moshe's death, he becomes eternal.
And Rafui is when we're waiting Torah, right?
That's right.
Something bad comes into good.
That's right. So now Moshe died, so who's going to teach us Torah? Mm-hmm. But look what it says in Sefer Dvarim. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, morasha kehilat Yaakov. Morasha is an inheritance. When do you get to inherit? When somebody dies. As much as Moshe gave us the Torah in his lifetime, his death serves us the purpose that he can be with us in every generation. So his death was really his birth. Right? He is always Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation. In every generation. Now he serves us in Shemayim. And he helps us in a heavenly way. So therefore, he died on his birthday to teach us that his death was his rebirth. V'nahapachu. Chazal say, every Shabbos, Moshe gives us back the crowns that were taken away from us of Nasu v'Nishma. And the Rambam, in his introduction to the Mishnayos, that he discusses the last day of Moshe's life, he quotes the Gemara in Sota. He says, afterwards, Moshe ascended the mountain at midday on the seventh day of Adar. Then the event took place, which we, from our perspective, call death. It appeared to us that Moshe had died because we were stuck by the perception of lacking the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we were confronted by his absence. However, Moshe experienced life in virtue of the spiritual height he had attained. And that's what the Gemara in Sota says. Moshe Rabbeinu did not die. Rather, he ascended and serves above. And still enables us to benefit from him even after his death. So this is the ultimate Netzach. The ultimate Netzach is that that which is so evil is meant to be converted, to be added onto the good. I didn't put down, but the Gemara says that generations, descendants from Haman, were Talmidei Chachamim in Bnei Brak. You see, from Haman this comes. You see how all these things, every bad thing that Haman decided to do only made things better. But it only worked because the Jews ultimately did teshuva. And they were able to use that in a positive way. And that is the Netzach that we're talking about over here. And that's what, so we got just a couple minutes. I can go back to the other thing when we talked about the other one. Where if you recall, we talked about Rabbi Nachman 2 weeks ago. You have a question? Yeah?
So, is it true they also say that in the next... But
Khazir
will be a kosher animal.
Same thing. The pig, the Khazir, will be a kosher animal. Whatever challenges the pig gave us will be kosher. Right? All the difficult things in our life are there just to make it Tov Ma'od. To make it Tov Ma'od. Now, if we look at the similarities between the Jews in Egypt and the Jews in Persia. I think that's where we ended 2 weeks ago. I think that's where we ended after we said that beautiful piece from Rabbi Nachman. I don't know if you remember that piece you did with Rabbi Nachman about knowing, not forgetting Olam Haba, what a Natschan is, what's one who tries to strive for victories. Remember we talked about that? And if you have to fight battles for Hashem, those are battles that you'll never lose. But you fight battles that are not for Hashem, those are ones that you will not win. Remember we talked about that? We just ended up very quickly 2 weeks ago. Rabbi Nachman talks about Netzach. Netzach means victorious. Netzach means eternity. And he says the only battles that you really want to be victorious are the ones that give you eternity. And those are the battles for Hashem. The battles for Hashem will give you eternal benefits. And that's why you got it. That's why he says, very important to remember Olam Haba. Remember Rabbi Nachman says, you have to be very careful, never forget Olam Haba. Now you understand much more important why you should never forget Olam Haba. He says, throughout the day, you got to think of Olam Haba, Olam Haba, Olam Haba, Olam Haba, Olam Haba. Why? Because that's the Sof Ma'aseh. B'machshava Techila. It's all about Olam Haba. It's all about taking the evil and annexing it into the Tov, which will happen in Olam Haba. So that's why Rabbi Nachman says, and I didn't mention this clause, that main thing with Rabbi Nachman is, pick your battles. Remember we said, the guy who battles others for his own personal gain, that defeats himself, we said. But if you do a battle for Hashem, that has eternal value, it has eternal consequences. Pick your battles. So why is it so important to pick your battles? Because those battles that you pick correctly, those are the one that makes Tov Ma'od out of the evil. Remember Rabbi Nachman said, just to refresh our memory just a little bit, he said, which battles a person should really try to fight. Where was this? Right at 19. He says, Al-Kein Iker HaNitzachon HaNitzachon Nitzchi, the main victory is a victory of eternity, which is Mishazochel Natsech Asasul Natsech Tavotav Umidotav Arayim, the one who's successful in defeating his desires and his evil character traits. And to be victorious over those who want to prevent him from the truth of being close to Hashem. That's the battle you're trying to fight. You have choices which battles to fight. You want to fight the battle that's going to be for your covet, your honor? Or you're fighting the battles for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This all fits into here. He said, and that's why I didn't mention it then, but as I've been giving this a few times, how do you view other people? Remember he said the Ayin Ra, the evil eye, or the Ayin Tov? And what does that really mean? How do you view other people? As your colleagues or as your adversaries? How do you look at another Jew? You're at a Kiddush. The guy's ahead of you in the Kiddush. Oh, he's my adversary. He's going to have more food than me. Yep. Or is he your colleague? Listen, if he has Baruch Hashem, a Jew has. You're going to fight over people? You're going to fight with people because you look at them as your adversary or as your colleague? And then you'll be able to, the key is you remember Olam Haba. This puts so much teeth into what Rabbi Nachman is saying. You have to remember Olam Haba because Olam Haba is Sof Maaseh B'Machshava Techila. Why is it so hard for us to deal with evil? Because we think the evil is evil. It's really bad. And we think it's maybe, sometimes we make a mistake and we think it's worth entertaining. The HR says, you know, why don't you do this? It's going to be good. I says, well, why not? Maybe not a bad idea. But you got to remember Olam Haba. If it's Olam Haba, there's only one way to get to Olam Haba. It's by fighting battles. You have to fight Hashem's battles. But the evil is so strong. But that evil is only there for you to defeat it. That evil is only there for overcome it and then to annex the power that it had and now bring it into the good. And if you're never forgetting Olam Haba, then you look at every aspect of your life. Where am I going to fight my next battle? Only a battle that will get me to Olam Haba, that has an eternal reality. And therefore, you won't make these mistakes. You won't make these mistakes. And the Jews are on the verge of making the most horrific mistakes possible. And that's what Netzach Yisrael is all about. That's what it's all about. You see that Hashem, in the Pesach story, it looked like we're going to be finished. The Jews are on the 49th level of impurity. Another minute, they're finished. But Hashem promised Avraham the Bris Ben Abisorim, they're an eternal people, and they're going to get out somehow. And as much as the Egyptians tried to destroy us, they could not destroy us. Okay? That's the same story with the Purim story. Why did they make the party? They made the party because they thought the 70-year prophecy did not come true and the Jews are not going to come back. That's the end of Netzach Yisrael. It doesn't get worse than that. But you got to remember, it's all about picking your battles. Let's think about it. Moshe, every battle he fought was only for God. An Egyptian's beating up a Jew, I'm going to kill him. Why? Because that's the Ratzon Hashem. Every battle Moshe fought was a battle to fight for Hashem. If people insulted him, he said, "What? They didn't fight for their covet." They said, "Who are we that you should? We're nobody. It's Hashem's the one. It's not my covet." But whenever it was for Hashem's covet, Korach wants to take away the Torah's truth. He says, "Swallow him up." He had to deal with Paro. He fights against Paro. Every battle Moshe fought was a battle for eternity. Because he always had an eye on Olam Haba. So now the Purim story. Which battles did Mordechai fight? Tzfas Emes says, very interesting, in Source 40. Mordechai did not bow down, nor prostrate himself. But really it's in the future. It says he will not bow down to Haman. He said, that's a battle I'm going to fight. Everybody else is going to bow down to Haman. I'm going to fight him. They're invited to the party. Yeah, I'm going to fight that one. Interesting. They take Esther away. He said, that's not a battle I'm going to fight. He somehow knew that that was the Ratzon Hashem that Esther should be taken. And he says, that's not an Olam Haba battle. And it turns out that was a battle. I say, always pick your battles. He says, no, Esther's not a battle to fight over. But to fight over the Jewish people, the eternity of the Jewish people, that's, and it says that Mordechai's neshama is from the same source as Moshe Rabbeinu. From the same source of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's, and now you see very good when we sing Shoshanas Yaakov, source 35, Chuasam ha Yisah, lo netzach. Their redemption is forever. You see, netzach is important. So this is the great celebration of Purim. The great celebration of Purim is not merely Netzach, not merely the eternal Jewish people, and that we're always going to be here another day, but it's the focus on Olam Haba. And if we could see the whole world from an Olam Haba perspective, it makes us a little closer to seeing things the way Hashem sees them. Now, we can never know it exactly how Hashem sees them, but we try to approximate how Hashem sees them. How does Hashem see these bad? How does Hashem see this evil? Hashem sees the evil as just something to be annexed into the good. So if we're thinking, oh, it's Olam Haba, it's Olam Haba, so you have to ask, how is this getting me to Olam Haba? There's got to be a way for this to get me to Olam Haba. Is this a battle I should fight to get into Olam Haba? If this is not, then not. Someone hurt my feelings, and now I'm not into battle to get him back. That's not going to get me into the Olam Haba. If you see something evil, and it needs to get converted into good, then you fight it. You have a bad midah, that's evil. Fight it. Because you're looking at Olam Haba. And that's the secret. It's all one happy loop.
All those battles, these people put in the context of Tikkun Olam?
Yes. So that's the Mishnah Nichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. When we come to Adar, that means any bad situation is meant to be converted to make everything Tov Maod. Without those bad things, it would never be Tov Maod. And don't settle for good. Strive for Tov Maod. And Tov Maod will only come with the battles that you fight. From things that appear to be bad, you can switch them to good. And that's where you get your simcha from. Okay, shkoyach, guys. Yeah.